And we are over here in the book of Exodus, chapter number 28. And I think it'd be a cute, fun little short sermon here this morning. But then again, we never know what the Lord's got in store. But we're going to read here in Exodus chapter number 28. We'll read verses 1 down through verse 4. Pray and see what the Lord's got for us today. So the Bible says, and this is God talking here. He says, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." You notice that the Bible says there at the very end of verse number 2 that these garments are supposed to be for glory and for beauty.
Yeah.
What we'd like to do this morning is bring our sermon on this particular thought of dress for success. Dress for success. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, once again for all that you've done for us. We do pray, Lord, once again for your blessings upon each and every one here at the Hammond Whiting Care Center.
Give them the word.
Both the residents and the workers here. We do pray, Lord, for their health and well-being, but especially, most of all, Father, for their salvation. That if anyone here does not know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of their sins, that they would make today that wonderful day that they ask Him to save them. We pray, Lord, once again for Mr. John that we're talking to there in the hallway, that you be with him, Lord, and help him, please, to see his need to be saved before it's everlasting too late.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, once again for all you've done for us. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. So, we've got this particular section here in Exodus 28 where God is ordaining that the high priest and all the priests that would come from his line, that they were to have on specific clothes.
Okay.
Now, ever since I changed routes there at the bakery, I just have not had time to run home, grab a quick shower, and put on my suit. So that's why the last 3.5 years or so, I've been showing up in my work uniform. So please forgive me.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of that it's more important to me to get here to minister to you, to have these church services, than it is for me to look fancy.
But
I do believe that goes along with what God had Samuel tell King Saul, that he is not about offerings and sacrifice, he sees it about obedience.
Yeah. Right,
so that's what we're trying to do as far as that goes, to be obedient. But at the same time, there needs to be a little bit of decorum. And I most certainly make sure that when I'm standing up there at my own church, that I am wearing a suit, or as the situation dictates, at least trying to have on a shirt and tie. I'm not a big fan of heat, so if I take that jacket off as quickly as I can, no problem. But for Aaron and his sons here, they were being given these garments, and very specifically, as we will see here in chapter number 28, Moses was given very specific instructions on making the garments that Aaron was going to have, because Aaron was the high priest. And as the high priest, he was going to be that man who had to be dressed for success, because he reflected Jesus and how successful he was when he died upon the cross to save us from eternity in hell. He didn't fail there on the cross. I know I've heard people say he was a failure. He died there on the cross. No, he didn't come to save himself. He came here to save us. He could have saved himself. He could have easily come down off that cross there and said, "Forget it, I'm washing my hands of this place. I'm going back to heaven where I belong." But he said that he was going to go all the way, and he went all the way, and he cried, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost, buying our salvation. And I believe that the garments here that are being described that Moses was to have the people make for Aaron are a reflection of what is going on there for Aaron. in what Jesus would do. And by the way, before we get too terribly far in it, we should also remember that we have been called, if you have been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we have been all called to be a royal priesthood for the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9 says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And again in verse number 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar, a purchased people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." In other words, while we may not sit here and put on these exact same garments that Aaron had to put on there, in our hearts we should be putting on the spiritual equivalent of these garments, because we are representing the great I Am. We are representing our high priest, who is after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. We are representing the sovereign creator of heaven and the earth, who spoke everything into existence until He got down to mankind. And then when He got down to man, He got His fingers dirty, fashioning us out of the clay. We look here real quickly at these items here. We won't dwell too long on them, but I want to point some things out to you. And we're not going to be going in the same order as verse number 4 lists them, but we are going to be giving them to you. I want to look first here at the broidered coat that is listed here. And this was simply woven together. Basically, it was kind of like a t-shirt sealing the body away. I've got on this polo shirt right now, and it's right up there against my skin. And anything that would be thrown at me, it would hit the shirt before it would touch my flesh. Okay? This compares, I believe, to the Holy Spirit and how we find there in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. And give me a moment to run over there real quickly. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 13, Paul writes, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed," watch this now, "ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." The seal is the Holy Spirit who now lives inside of us. We have been sealed, blood bought, born again, on our way to heaven there.
Yeah.
The shirt is kind of somewhat of a seal for me. Trust me, you don't want me to take off my shirt. I'm ugly, I'm hideous, okay? I'm as white as this piece of paper right here without this shirt on, all right? I don't give much sun. You don't want to see it, okay? But it's kind of working the exact same way there. This broidered coat would be the first thing that they'd have to put on, because it's got to go and cover up their flesh. And what does the flesh speak of? The flesh speaks of our sin nature there. And that Aaron here is supposed to be coming on behalf of God. He's ministering to God by ministering to the people. He is bringing the blood there on the Day of Atonement to place on the mercy seat. He must be covered. In order for us to be able to approach the throne of grace, we must be covered. And that is by the sealing of the Holy Spirit, church. The second thing I want you to notice is the breastplate that is talked about here. The breastplate was a pouch that hung across the high priest's chest, and it contained the Urim and Thummim. Say, what in the world is a Urim and Thummim? Well, here's the short answer to it, my brother. I don't know. No one knows, but I do know if you'll change a couple of letters in each word, you'll get using and a thumbing. And that's what you do with your Holy Bible. You start using it and thumbing through the Scriptures, and you will find the answers that the Lord has for you there. Amen to that. Now, this breastplate was roughly 9 by 18 inches. Why do I say by 18 inches? Because of the fact that it had to be folded over, kind of like a taco or a gyro or something like that there, so that they could take and put the Urim and Thummim inside of this 9x9 pouch. Now, we said that the breastplate covers the heart of the high priest. We can run quickly over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. And let me turn there real quickly for you. And I want to read to you about the high priest as the author of the book of Hebrews writes here concerning him. In Hebrews, chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading verse number 15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." In other words, what we go through, He feels it. He can be touched by it. When we're hurting, He hurts. When we're crying, He cries. When we're happy, He's happy. Okay? He cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Praise God for that, because if we had, Jesus Christ was as much a sinner as the rest of us, He's no good. He was without sin. Amen. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly, with confidence, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I like that word time there. It means well timed. This ain't a simple matter of that it happens. It was a chance that took place. It was an emergency. No, it was well timed. That's how the Lord works there. Amen. And so this covers His heart. The high priest, this pouch, the breastplate, covers His heart. As we said, it's roughly 9 by 9 inches. Verses 29 and 30 tells us that three times here, that, it would be over Aaron's heart, and it would be there so he could sympathize with the people. Let me read verse 29 and 30. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And what was Aaron again? He was the high priest. Who is our great high priest after the order of Melchizedek? Jesus the Christ. Amen. It is covering His heart there. We are on His heart. And we should have a lost and dying world upon our hearts, and needing to worship the Lord God Almighty upon our hearts, and coming together and encouraging one another should be upon our hearts. The Lord's making a point here of doing this. Are we going to follow, or are we going to simply sit here and say, whatever? We got to make sure we are dressed appropriately, church. Now, I want you to notice next here in verse number 4, it talks about an ephod. The ephod was very similar to a vest. It had a couple of straps that would go up over the shoulders, come around to the back, and some cloth here and a cloth over here. Now, the stones of the ephod, that's really what I want to focus on, because they had two stones, one on each shoulder, that would hide the clasp. But on those stones, they had engraved upon, on one shoulder, six of the names of the tribes of Israel, and on the other shoulder, the other six names of the tribes of Israel there. And they were to be there upon his shoulders. And whenever you take, and you're talking about needing to put your back into it, well, you ain't putting your back into it until that shoulder is getting into it. Till those feet are planted, and you're going, you're pushing. If you've ever had to help with the plow horse get out there and do some plowing, what happens? You've got those straps there on the shoulders so that you can pull. You're going out and you're playing football, and they have you going against the tackling dummies there in practice. It's your shoulders that are going in the tackling dummy. You watch the football players are on television. They ain't getting up there and giving them a roundhouse kick or nothing like that. Ain't no boxing going on. They're hitting with their shoulders. That's because your shoulders are what is bearing the burden. It is bearing the brunt of what is taking place there. They're doing the work. Now, what does the Bible tell us about Jesus and His shoulders over there in Isaiah chapter number 9? Let me turn there. I want to make sure I give this to you correctly. I don't want to mispronounce nothing. Don't want to get anything wrong. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government, by the way, it may look like that is singular. That word government is used here. It means all governments. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, what's the great thing about that? That word shoulder there is single. All the governments, but only one shoulder. You know what that tells us right there? Miss Betty, that says that if all the governments are on this shoulder, that means he's got this shoulder for us to come and cry on. He's got this shoulder for us to come over and lean on. He's got this shoulder over here ready and open and willing to accept us. How's that sound, church? All our pains, all our sorrows, all of our suffering. he can be touched with, bring it right there to that shoulder. He's got plenty of room for each and every one of us to come all at the exact same time. Amen. Hallelujah to that. After the ephod, I want you to notice it talks about the girdle. Verse number 8. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same according to the work thereof, even of gold, and of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and fine twined linen. What that girdle did. Remember we talked about how the ephod was something like a vest and it had some cloth that would come down here right about the gut or so. Okay, that curious girdle. You would take, it's a belt, and you wrap it around you, and you actually tie it together, and it seals the ephod together. Kind of like how my wonderful belt is holding up my britches. Without this belt, whoosh, straight down. So we're going to make sure that belt stays on there as well. Amen to that. But church, where do we come across a belt as it is described in God's holy word? I'm glad you asked. Well, you all ain't got your Bibles with you, but I do. Over in Ephesians chapter number 6, the Bible talks about a very specific belt. The Bible says here in verse number 14, Paul is writing and he's starting to give the armor of the Lord. And he says here, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." In other words, have on the belt of truth. You think about that for a moment. I understand our modern society has got this where my truth may not be your truth. I'm sorry, but that ain't biblical. That ain't factual. Fact is always fact. Truth is always truth. It don't matter who is saying it. You can have your opinion, and I can have my opinion. Now, that would be two different critters right there. But when it comes to the truth, it's always truth. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen to that. Amen. And part of the armor of God is to be armed with the truth so as that you can stand up against whatever lies the devil comes up there trying to tell you. "Oh, you ain't no good. Oh, you're a failure. I know your past. This, that, and the other. I'm going to run you down, run you ragged till you just throw in the towel and quit." Let me tell you what the truth is. If you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, amen, hallelujah. It don't matter what the devil's got to say. All that matters is what God says. God says He looks down and He sees our red sins through the red blood of Jesus Christ, and it's all white as snow. Ain't worrying about it, none. Just get it under the blood and get going for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth that matters there, church. Obeying our Heavenly Father. Staying with Him. Had a fellow ask me recently, "Hey, what denomination are you?" I says, "I ain't worrying about a denomination. Denomination ain't going to get me anywhere but into hell. It's doctrine. It's what I need right there. It is the doctrine of the Bible because it is truth." Amen. And we are supposed to have that belt of truth upon us there. I want to bring your attention real quickly to the last three items here. The next one is the robe of the ephod. Now this was linen that they could, and it could only be dyed blue. So what they would do is they'd end up mixing in some wool in order to be able to give it some different colors. Now this very fabric here, because they've had to mix in some wool, and we see this down here in verse number 31, "And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all blue," speaks of Christ as high priest for both Jew and Gentile. They weren't supposed to mix fabrics. God said, "No, don't you dare do it." But when it came to this particular piece here, the robe of the ephod, God says, "I want you to mix these. Because you're going to have some different colors in there." You know what that tells me? Red, yellow, black, or white. And we are all precious in His sight. Amen. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what gender you are. I don't care if you're tall, you're short, you're fat and ugly like me, or you're a good looking person, you got money, or you are flat broke. It don't matter. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're my brother, you're my sister. Amen. End of story. Because of Jesus, not because of me, not because of you, but because of what Jesus has done there.
Amen.
Now, if you'll notice down here in verse number 32 of our text in the book of Exodus, and it says, "And there shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it. as it were the hull of a harbinger, that it be not rent. Let me tell you something here. They used as a sign back then of mourning, of great pain and anguish. They would take their robe and they would tear it. And that told everybody, oh, that person's in mourning. Something terrible, something tragic has just happened there. But the high priest, it was woven around so that he could not tear it. There was no Hulk Hogan type move of tearing the shirt open. It was sealed. It was secured. It was going to be standard for the high priest. They could not be allowed to tear. You know why? Because as they represent Jesus Christ, when's Jesus going to be sorrowful? When's He going to be in such anguish and pain? He comes from heaven. Yes, I know He had His moments of pain with Lazarus having passed. And He cried there. I understand that it breaks His heart every time a lost soul splits hell wide open. But as our high priest, mind you, not the world, not the lost people's high priest, because He's not theirs, but as our high priest, He's got nothing but joy, and He's never going to have to rip His clothes. Even if we sin, the worst possible sins we could commit, we could still get Him under the blood. He could still forgive us. He could still cleanse us. And you know what? You know what I like? You remember that serial killer there in Chicago or Milwaukee? That was Milwaukee, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
They said 2 weeks before he was killed in prison that he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Yeah. This man was a homosexual. He was a serial killer. And he was a cannibal. But if he really did accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, guess what? That's Brother Jeffrey, and we're going to see him there in heaven.
You're right, brother.
Because Jesus was also his high priest. It all comes under the blood. If Hitler had asked to be saved, Jesus would have saved him.
If he had.
I don't think he did, though. Not with the way he ended his life. But you know what? My Bible still says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." I don't read anywhere in there where it says, except for this person, or this person, or this person. It says, the world. It's His joy. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Every one of us. Now, I want you to know something here, very important though, about this particular piece, the robe of the ephod. Aaron was supposed to wear this robe 364 days of the year. Only one time, one day of the year, was he supposed to take it and lay it off to the side. And that was the Day of Atonement, what the Jews call nowadays Yom Kippur. And that's because laying that robe of the ephod to the side speaks of Christ's humiliation leading up to and there on the cross when He bought our salvation. But don't forget, 3 days later, He rose up from the grave. So much God that He died upon a tree. I'm sorry, so much man that He died upon a tree, but 3 days later, so much God, He rose in victory. Amen.
Amen.
Now around that robe there, at the very bottom, It would be ringed with bells and pomegranates. Now, those pomegranates, I thought for the longest time they were actual pomegranates. I'm trying to figure out how in the world those things didn't rot away on him. But it's actually, the Bible talks about that they made them. These were fabric pomegranates, not real ones. And what it is, that every time the priest is moving around there in the holy place, they're ringing just a little bit, letting everybody know on the outside, he's still alive. And if he's still alive, that means God is accepting their sacrifice that they have offered. The pomegranates speak of the fruitfulness of Israel and God's blessing to them. God's still blessing Israel. Don't let anyone kid you. God has not put Israel away. Yeah, He's put them on the back burner for now, but He's not through with them yet, church. And by the way, it don't matter where you're at in this life. As long as you're still breathing, God ain't done with you yet either. Amen.
400 years.
Now I want to look here real quickly. We've got two to go, and we're running out of time. But next comes the mitre. Now the mitre was like a crown. Some have called it even a turban. And we see here in verse number 36, let me turn the page real quickly. The Bible says, "And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. This plate of pure gold carried around a statement on it that was to remind Aaron he's supposed to be holy to the Lord. Every time the people would see Aaron walking around with that plate there on the mitre, it was to remind them they were to be holy to the Lord. It is a matter of what our correct motivation is, of what our walk is supposed to be. Our walk is supposed to always be holy, not I'm walking. You know what? There's some sin. Let me jump off into sin real quick. Oh yeah, I had a good time. You know what? God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And now I'm back on a straight and narrow. Our walk is always supposed to be there on the straight and narrow. Amos chapter 3 verse number 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And God wants to be walking with us. So He says, you need to be holy as I am holy. And then lastly here, we come down to verse number 42, and it talks about this. Was not in verse number 4. But God comes along and He says, by the way, you also need to do this. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. Say, why in the world do we got to have something like that? Well, we got a robe that kind of covers the chest and tummy area. This one here is like underwear. The linen breeches. And the reason why this is necessary was because it characterized righteousness. B, the pagan society of the day was huge into anything sexual. Kind of like our pornography today, I guess. But so they would have no problems letting the breeze blow up their robes and showing off what all was down there. But God says, that ain't going to happen, church. Israel, you are going to make sure that you are covered no matter what takes place here. It is for modesty. It is for us to be serving God with a proper attitude, a proper mindset. Us to be doing what the Lord would have us to do. I've got just two questions for you here this morning. And like I said, we went through this quickly here. But I got two questions. Since we're preaching this morning on this thought of dress for success, I want to know, how is your heart dressed? And number two, is it dressed for success or for failure? Now God will allow us to go and get changed to something more decent. So if it's not for success, guess what? You can pray and get it right with God right now and see what He can do for you. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day. Father, we believe that this is a sermon You'd have me to bring to Your people today. And I pray, Lord, that everyone here was able to get exactly what it is that they needed out of the sermon today. Help us, Lord, please, to be diligent in our obedience to You, Father. We love You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. So our